This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to part two of this epic conversation with my homegirl, Radhi Devlukia Shetty, on Women of Impact, of course. If you've listened to part one of this episode, then guys, you already know that this conversation with my girl, Radhi Devlukia Shetty, is a freaking game changer for all of the people-pleasing women out there that need a bit of hope and inspiration and wake up to their inner freaking badass. Now, the conversation continues with Radhi as we talk about how terrible we are at listening to ourselves. Yes, we are, guys. Let's just admit it. And sometimes we low-key wait for someone else to come and save us. Now, don't worry, though, because these tips are about being your own freaking woman and staying in or developing your freaking power. So let's dive into the second part of this convo today, where we discuss better ways to respond and stand strong when everyone has an opinion. Everyone has an opinion, but no one actually has a clue about the future that you're trying to build. I know how it feels. I have built my confidence from absolutely nothing, with being petrified to make a move or make a change. And yet, I still keep going. And how did I do it? With tips, with talking about the real stuff and discussing with my homies and my wonderful, amazing freaking guests that I have on this show, Women of Impact, so that we can actually all not stay stuck, so that we can all build our confidence step by step, tip by tip, action by action. And so guys, if this episode or the show or myself bring you any value, I do ask, drop in a comment or leave a rating review. I know that we all ask this on podcasts, but you have no idea how much it actually makes a difference to spread the word so that we can really, on a global freaking scale, start helping any woman out there that's struggling. So please leave a rate, leave a review. And now let's just dive in and get real with my girl, Radhi Devlukia Shetty.
That's beautiful. And then going back to the purpose, right? Is that, yeah. Okay, this book actually is going to serve people.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, look, I do a show called Women of Impact. So, yeah. You know, I freaking empower women, yeah, all the time. And I've taken my husband's name, and I love that.
Exactly.
I've taken his name. And even, God, where is Christmas time? Mm. And me and my family, all his family got together, my family got together. And I love Tom sitting at the head of the table.
Aww.
Now, my mother-in-law seemed a little tripped out by that. And I think because I'm very much all for female empowerment, I was like, I love seeing Tom at the head of the table and I love sitting next to him, like on the side. And I really had to process. I'm like, oh my God, am I going against, like, yeah, my female homies here?
Yeah.
And I was like, actually, no, go back to the root of how you feel, Lisa. Because there are some expectations that have been put upon women that I vehemently disagree with. Mm-hmm. Vehemently. Mm-hmm. You should never have to do anything.
No.
Right? And so I very much believe that. But I didn't do it because I had to. And so I had to kind of go back to grounding myself, mm-hmm, on how I feel about a certain situation and then being proud of it and it not being a reflection of me being a weaker person.
Right.
That I really struggle with for a bit because I'm like, oh my God, does that make me weak?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, actually, I saw my dad sit at the head of the table and I freaking loved it.
Oh, yeah.
And so seeing my husband there, I love it. And it doesn't diminish my confidence. It doesn't diminish,
yes,
how,
yes,
I feel,
yes,
about myself.
Definitely.
And I think that those are the differences, right? And, mm-hmm, you not taking his name or taking his name or me, you know, having Tom at the head of the table. I think it comes back down to, how do you feel about that situation? And are, mm-hmm, you doing it because of an expectation that's been put on you by your culture? Because the Greeks are the same, right? The man's ahead,
yeah,
of the table. But there was this joke in my Big Fat Greek Wedding where it was like, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck.
Oh, yeah.
She gets to turn the man's head any way she likes. And I just love that.
That's a good one,
yeah,
actually.
I love that analogy. That's the thing, is like, it doesn't make you weak, right? The fact that you ended up having to, it doesn't make you weak, homie. It makes you look at the same situation, go, what are my values? Yeah. What is my purpose? And am I showing up in truth of my purpose? And yeah. So everything we've been talking about today with building your confidence, how do you let go of the expectations that are put upon us? I think it goes back down to, like, and we've said, you've repeated it so many times, is going back to how you feel authentically.
Yeah, definitely. And I just think I also have learned to, and not invalidating my feelings, but I do think about this all the time, especially when I hear about, you know, getting the things that happen in the world. Sometimes I'm like, okay, we can get over this a bit faster. Like, I don't need to be sitting in this for that long, and things are going to happen and we have to move on from it. Like, I just think in the grand scheme of life, again, like I said, I felt it, I processed it, but I don't need to keep harping on about the same thing over and over again. And I think that's really important too, because I think it's very easy to keep feeling like victim mentality of like constantly like this went wrong and then this went wrong, and you kind of end up lacking gratitude in so much more that has happened in life. And I think there's I've experienced people who are like that, who always see the negative before the positive. And I'm like, we can still see negative and positive. But like, there has to be a balance of, it's also about how you're seeing things, right? Like, you can see a whole situation and it can be completely negative, or you could see like some sort of light in it and hold on to that to push yourself on and move on from it. And I just think that there is a really big danger of constantly seeing the negative, because if you start seeing it in your own life, you'll start seeing it in other people, then you'll start seeing it in every other situation. And then your whole life and your whole mind becomes very entrapped in this state of constantly feeding off negativity. Mm-hmm. And I think I've just really learned that does not serve me in any capacity. So I'd rather just...
So what does that act actually look like? The act of going, okay, I see the negative and now I have to pivot and see the positive. So again, going back to the things we've already spoken about, it's easy to almost lean towards the negative, because I'm sure back in the caveman days, right, it was like hearing rustle in the woods. Yeah. It's like, oh shit, it might be a tiger. Yeah. So you're actually trained to look out for the negative because it used to save your life. Mm-hmm. Now, in today's society, it doesn't necessarily serve you all the time. So how do you pivot in those moments? And actually, what are the habits that you do in your life to stay positive?
I think sometimes we also stay in the negative. I just want to add, because it gives us a place of like, people looking after us or thinking, oh, are you okay? Like, you end up feeling more cared for when you're in a negative state. Mm. And so I do think that that plays a role too. Like, if you're someone who's always in need, then usually you always have people who are coming to your rescue or coming to help you or paying a bit more attention when you're down, right? Like, that's usually what happens. How do I get through it? So, I mean, I feel like this is just the most overused word, but the most powerful word is just gratitude. Like, honestly, that's the only thing I can go back to. Every single time I feel a negative emotion in me, I go through the process of, for me, crying, which is release for me. So releasing out anything that is trapped mentally, physically, or emotionally in my mind. And then I'll also write it out, like, write down why I'm feeling that way, or vocalize it. Like, I called my sister and I was just like blubbering everything that I was feeling and thinking about that was coming to my mind, going this way and then going that way. And, you know, everything that encompasses that situation, I had to talk it out. And sometimes I'm actually someone who doesn't talk about things a lot. I will process myself. And then if there's still stuff left over, I will then share. But with this situation, I spoke about it with my two girls that I work with. I spoke about it with my sister. Like, I felt like I needed to really talk about it to process it. So for me, it's talking about things, releasing, which is crying. And then the third thing for me is then thinking about, okay, how can I see the positive aspect of this? Like, what is the silver lining? What is the part of this which I'm so happy to be? Why is the situation so good for me also? And I remember this quote which someone said, which is, there is, like, even in the worst of times, there are still things to be grateful for. And I really do believe that. And I noticed that even when my grandma was in hospital, like, every single day, I was staying with her in hospital when she was. And it was just... God, I'm so bad with my grandma. I always cry about it. But for me, the most amazing part was being there with her every single day. And so even though it was so scary that she was there, I was able to spend nearly a whole month, every single night sleeping with her, looking after her in the hospital. And for me, that was like, so beautiful. So even when you go through things like that, I'm like, the opportunity I got to serve her and be around her and spend time with her, for me, that was like the most beautiful part of it. And so, yes, it was her being unwell and ill, but for me, it was like, wow, I got to spend that time with her that I would have never, ever got. I would have never taken out that time to spend with her. But that was my time to be able to serve her back for everything she's done for me. And I was like, how lovely to have that experience with her. So I guess the reason I brought that up was because even in really difficult times like that, there is always gratitude that you can squeeze out of it. And I think if I could do that in that situation, there is no way I can't do that throughout my life in so many other situations. And that's probably one of the hardest situations for me. So, yeah, I think it's squeezing gratitude out of everything. And even if you can't find it, there's finding perspectives from other people. Because sometimes we are in such a dark place that you can't see that. Like, you can't see it because you're so deep in it. But usually from other people's perspective, like if I talk to you about something, I feel like every time I have spoken to you about certain things, you're like, oh my God, but how amazing is that you got to do this? Or how incredible that you even, you know, another friend's perspective can also suddenly shift your own mindset. Because sometimes when you're so deep in the darkness of like, you're in the muddy and you're in the sticky parts of it, sometimes it's hard to see it. But then speaking to other people, you just gain something else. So there's something which my friend said recently, where she said she's been through two types of grief in her life, and one of them was her dad, who passed away when she was younger, and then her mum, who passed away recently. And I said, what was the difference between the two for you? And she said that when her dad passed away, she locked everyone off. It was almost like she created this huge barrier around her and didn't allow anybody in. You know, to the point where if someone said, let me hug you, you know, when you feel that, no, don't hug me, I'm going to cry. Like, I just don't want anyone close to me. She said, the difference was in the second time I surrendered and I just let every, so if someone said, let me cook for you, I said, yeah, of course you can. If someone said, can I give you a hug? I said, yes, of course you can. So she said that she, by allowing other people in at the times that you are feeling your worst, it almost is like, it replenishes you in so many different ways. So normally we're used to putting up guards when we're feeling so bad or when you're not feeling great, but actually surrendering and allowing people to pour into you is also such a great way to heal and uplift yourself.
You said, you know, you call your mom or you call your sister. Yeah. Do you think about who you're calling? Because that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Because there are some people, there's the tough love, or yeah, there's that, oh my God, everything's okay, right? Sometimes when everyone's just like, no, everything's mm-hmm. okay, again, you then go deeper into the wallow. Yeah. But sometimes it's needed, like what you said, is the surrendering. So where's that fine yeah. line between surrendering and not wallowing in the comfort that is given
people.
To you in those moments?
I have identified my people for that. Like, mm-hmm. I know the people who will want to sit in sorrow with me. And there are also sometimes, and this is not by fault of them, but there are people in your life who value sorrow more than they do happiness, and you have to be really careful about that, where it's almost like seeing someone else in a place of upset makes them feel happier, because it's almost like misery wants company, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, that doesn't mean those people still don't love you, but it just means that that's the place that they're in. And I've noticed those people who, when I say something is wrong, they're like, so tell me more, what else, what's happened? Like, and they kind of want to know because it comforts their misery. And so I have like maybe three people in my life that I can go to that I know, even if it's going to feel horrible, they're going to comfort me, but then they're also going to give me the slap around the face and be like, okay, well, this is what we need to do. Like, we're not going to just keep talking about this. If you want to keep talking about it, then we need to figure out what the solution is, because we're not going to just sit in repeating over and over and over again. And so you only really need one person for that, honestly. Like, you need to find that one good person who's going to give you that time to console you, but then also going to help you come to like come back to reality and give you that solution. And sometimes, to be brutally honest, that person may just be you, because not everybody has those people in their life. And so there are going to be times where no one around you is going to be your support system, because they don't have the capacity to do that for you. There's going to be times where your friends don't have the capacity to support you. And that's why becoming that person. So I really have learned to try to start processing things by myself before I go to other people, because at the end of the day, people don't have unlimited capacity to give to you, to nurture you, to support you. And if if you're constantly, the moment you feel upset, running to someone else, you're essentially counting on them to make you feel better. When actually we should be able to, we are also responsible for that part of our life too. And that's how I've taken it. I'm like, do I want to be a burden to everybody every time I feel a little bit upset? That, and especially when people love you, they do feel that burden a lot. They're worrying about you. They're thinking about ways that they can fix it for you, even when they may not have the capacity to do so. And so for me, finding ways to self-soothe, just like a baby does sometimes, like self-soothing is really important before you go out and expect other people to do that for you.
To take your business to the next level, you know you need to hire some help if you want. But the thought of weeding through potentially hundreds of applications fills you with freaking dread. I get it, guys. Try posting your job on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals. That's right, billion with a B, which makes it the best place to actually hire. It gives you access to professionals that you can't find anywhere else. And LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive, because who has the time to actually try and learn this stuff too? So forget about all the dread. Hiring is easy when you have that many quality candidates. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get qualified candidates within 24 hours. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/Lisa. That's linkedin.com/Lisa to post your job for utterly and absolutely free. As always, guys, terms and conditions apply. As an entrepreneur, one of the biggest challenges you will face is a negative voice in your head. You know who I'm talking about? That maybe not so small part of you that loudly doubts your abilities to actually pull the things off and make a living from your passion project. But you gotta overcome that negative voice in your head, homie, because I'm telling you, you can do it. Especially if you use Shopify. Now, Shopify is an all-in-one global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From launching your business to hitting $1 million, Shopify has got you completely covered. And with all the built-in Magic AI award-winning customer service and the internet's best converting checkout, you have everything you need to shut down the voice of doubt and make all your amazing business dreams a reality. That's exactly why, guys, I love Shopify. So if you want to start growing your business with more customers and sales, shut that negative voice down and prove her wrong that you can do it, Shopify is here for you. So go and sign up for just $1 a month with your trial period at shopify.com/Lisa, all lowercase. Again, guys, you can go to shopify.com/Lisa right now to grow your business, no matter where you are and what stage it's in. That's shopify.com/Lisa.
Yeah, God, I am such a cheerleader of that.
Yeah.
And I started to realize, like, I was turning to Tom because he's my comfort, right? I've been with him for 23 years. So it's like, anytime there was a problem, I would go to him. And God bless him, but he was the guy that's just like, he just wants to solve it.
Yeah.
Right? So he goes straight into problem solving mode. I'm like, I just need to listen.
Such a man.
Yeah, such a, and bless. So now we have language that we even use. Yeah. He's like, do you want me to listen?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want me to fix it? And then I'll pause.
Like, I just want to run, okay?
Yeah. And he's like, you haven't answered yet. And I'm like, I just want you to listen. Mm. And so he's like, all right, come here. Like, I've got you. And then the second I need him to fix it, he'll be like, all right, this is what you need to do. And this is what you have to say. And this is how you have to do. You know, and he'll always be very honest. And sometimes he's just like, yeah, you're at fault here. And you're the one that needs to, you know, go and apologize or you need to do this. And so because I know I'm going to get that truth, it's very comforting. But to your point, I realized I've got to start solving this myself. I've got to be at the point where I know how to do it, because I feel good about myself as well if I'm able to course correct.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the things that you do from a health perspective and a mindset perspective, because we've spoken so much offline just about our hormones and the foods we eat and how much this impacts how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk to me about what routines you do just from a health perspective so that you can stay strong in these moments of feeling sad, that you have the emotional and physical capability to get back up.
Yeah, because it's not how you spend. Like, I remember when I started meditating, that one of the teachers said, it's not about how you spend those 2 hours, it's about how you spend those other 22 hours.
Ooh.
So like how you're able to meditate in those 2 hours is going to be determined by the life that you're living in those other 22 hours. And so I see this in the same way. It's like, it's almost like building up It's like when you're going for a really long hike and you make sure you take all the things that you need. You take your water with you. You take, like, you prepare for it, right? And so we all know we're going to have those moments. So how are you preparing for it in the rest of your life is going to determine how deep, how low you fall in those moments and how fast you get back up. And so for me, the things I've noticed have worked is I get my bloods checked at least every single year, if not more. And the reason I do that is because as women specifically, our hormone levels change so much. I found out I had high estrogen levels, which affects my, again, why I cry so much. Like, it is part of it, being really emotional, being someone who can have the tendency to feel really upset quite fast. And all those things help me to understand that, like, when you end up having the knowledge, it helps you to understand yourself better. And not that I can blame it on that, but I can be like, oh, maybe I am over-exaggerating about this a little bit because I do have this. So I know that it's not necessarily as deep or as bad as it feels right now. So I would say because a lot of the things that we feel emotionally and hormonally are fixable. And we always think that it's our mind and it's mental and it's something which is, it's something that we can't solve because it's emotion related. Like, people think emotions are not solvable with physical things, but actually a lot of our emotions and the way that they are affected can be physically changed based on what you're doing for your mind and what you're doing for your body. So I say get your bloods checked on a regular basis, because if you're deficient in vitamins, it affects your hormones. If you're low in iron or in vitamin D, it affects your mood drastically and your energy levels. If your energy levels are low, it affects your mood. If your mood is affected, you're going to cry all the time or get angry all the time. You're going to be agitated. And so when you find that out, depending on what it shows, start eating at the foods that are rich in the vitamins and the minerals that you need. Now, there are so many, and again, it can be boiled down to simply eating foods which have vitality in it. And in Ayurveda, they call it ajas, and they're the foods which are the most nutrient dense. Like, if you're feeling a little bit dead inside, eating food that is nutritionally dead is gonna contribute to it, right? Mm-hmm. And so eat foods which are filled with vibrance and vitality and vitamins and minerals that supplement your body in that way. And that's just eating a really wholesome, fresh diet. Like, start with that. Eat more fresh fruits and vegetables and things which have those vitamins. And again, by the way, if you end up eating a strawberry that's been freshly picked or close to it versus a strawberry that's been in a store for about 3 weeks and then made it to you and then been in your fridge for a week, the nutrient value is going to be extremely different. And so understanding that also, that even if I think I'm eating healthy foods, like, how rich are they still in the nutrients that I need in my life? And so if that's not helping, or if you're not able to do that to that capacity, take some supplements with you. Like, make sure every single day you're committing to taking the vitamins you need to support your mood, your energy levels, and your vitamin deficiencies. I've started doing that again. I was really lazy with my vitamins and in the morning I forget. And I've started doing that for even, I think, like 2 weeks now. And I can notice it making, it really does support you, especially if you're that deficient in something. I'm very deficient in vitamin D. Just getting vitamin D shots has, stopped those lulls in the middle of the day. It stopped those energy drops. It stopped the feeling of lethargy and feeling a bit dull inside. Like, it really does make such a difference. So,
and if you don't even have, I mean, just go outside.
Go outside. Yes, exactly. Go outside and get fresh air and feel. One thing I find disconnects us one thing I find really affects our emotions and our energy levels is disconnecting from nature and not realizing how much we can gain from it, because we're living amongst nature, like, we are part of it. We're not living in it. And we have to realize that the energy that we can receive from just being able to connect back to nature is so important. Like, that's why our circadian rhythm exists, right? Like, we connect to the way that the sun comes up and the moon comes up, and our water levels and our body levels are all linked to that. And so as soon as you start realizing your connection with nature and living aligned with it, again, sleeping when, like, sleeping as close to when the sun goes down as possible is really, really impactful, because you get the moon energy, which brings so much to your body. And there's just so many parts to it. But connecting back to nature simply by going out for a walk is so important. Getting fresh air is so important. And movement. The last thing I'll say is movement has been a huge part of balancing my my energy levels and my hormones. And I used to think it was as high impact as possible. Mm. I would be like, I'm going to box. And I still do boxing, but I've slowed it down a lot. And one thing for women that's quite important to know is our estrogen levels actually go, are elevated when we do a lot of intense exercise because it's related to our cortisol level as well. And so the more stress we put our body in, it actually increases our estrogen levels. And so doing what I've swapped to is still doing workouts that make me sweat, but doing like a weight, like weight training a lot more, slow movements that are impactful, but not extreme cardio that's putting my body into a high stress mode regularly. And so I've switched my movement to either walking 10,000 steps, which by the way, takes a long time. I just want to say I've been doing it. 10,000 steps has taken me. I did like an hour and a half on the treadmill this morning while I was doing meetings and stuff. But I still need to do another like 2,000. It does take quite a while. But if you think about it, it's 2 hours of your day out of 8, 9, 10 hours that you're sitting sedentary. So movement, slower movements that also calm your nervous system and allow it to reset and replenish. That's so important. And then sleep. I have a really routine sleep. And again, if you're a mother, that's different. If you're someone that does night shifts, that's different.
I was literally, so night shifts, so I really so want to difficult. Hear your evening routine, but night shift, the rate of depression on people that really? Do night shifts, yeah, because your circadian rhythm is completely screwed. And then especially if you're a night shift doing inside work, like stocking shelves, so now you're not even outside, it's like a double whammy and people yeah. don't realize mm-hmm. how much that contributes. And that's why I think mothers are so depleted because you're never getting into your full cycle of sleep.
No.
And so you're not necessarily getting all the REM sleep that you need. And so like giving women grace when they're, especially with newborns, like, oh my God.
Definitely.
But then understanding what's happening. Because I think that that's a big key. If, like, if you don't know what's happening and now like they're trying to get sleep in between naps and things like that. Or even if you're not and you're just a woman who is on the grind, right? And you're really trying to build something. And so you're working really hard. And so you sacrifice your sleep. It's like, oh my God, you don't realize what knock-on effect that's going to have in 3 months, 6 months to how you feel about yourself. And now you've worked so hard for something, but you actually don't feel great because you're not getting your sleep.
And when you sleep is when you're, not only does your mind process things, that's why you end up feeling so forgetful if you don't sleep enough, because that's when your mind is also processing and storing information. It's also when your gut is gets the opportunity to rest before it starts digesting. It's also the time that your nutrients are assimilated into your muscles and your tissues. Like, there is so much that during this restful time that your body gets to do. And if it misses out on that, it's affecting your gut, your brain, your energy. Like, when I don't get sleep, I can't lift as much at the gym. I can barely like walk for, you know.
Walk to the gym.
Yeah, exactly. And so all of those things, and again, this is obviously, it's just such a living a holistic life. What does that mean? It means looking after each compartment of your life in like, and being mindful of each compartment of your life. And look, there are going to be times where women are hustling and they just can't look after every part. And so know that for 6 months, I am going to have to compromise on this amount of sleep. But then that means in these areas, I'm going to make sure I am boosted. And so, yes, you can't be 100% in all of these areas of your life in one go. It's really difficult to do that. But decide which one you are okay with compromising, and then make sure those other areas are really solid. And that can stop you from, you know, since I've started really focusing on those areas, my immune system is so much stronger. My gut is so much better. My sleep is so much better. And the way that I deal with emotions and the way that I am able to bounce back after having low moods and low periods, even though I still have high estrogen levels and still am prone to it, it's helped me in those moments to be like, you know what? I've got this. Like, I've got, my body has the capability to deal with it.
Oh God, I love that. And then I assume that knock-on effect really does then show up on how you show up every day, like having the confidence to go on stage recently and write a book and all of these things.
If your nerves are out of whack and you're not, I always think of nerves as being like your, I don't know, I always think of it as your baby self, right? Like if your nerves are not well soothed and feel safe, and again, all of these things allow that part, then in the moments of fear, you are going to want to hide. You are going to want to take shelter, and you're going to want to stay in your comfort zone. You're going to be protecting yourself because every other part of your life feels so up in the air. And so if I always think about it in this way, if you're able to discipline yourself in one area, it usually helps seep into all the other areas. If you start going out of whack in one area of your life, it slowly seeps into all the other areas of your life. And so I've noticed that where if I commit to one thing in one part of my life, it builds up confidence and helps me to do the same in every other part. We've gotten so used to putting our health into other people's hands and tuning out completely and being like, hey, I'm like literally giving all of our power away to everybody else around us when it comes to our health. And we're like, oh, this Instagrammer said that this is what helped them. I'm going to do this. This person, this doctor told me that I should do this for my body. I'm going to do this. But there is, even if you're not a health professional, you live inside your body. You know when you eat something and it doesn't sit well in your stomach. You know when you do something and it makes you feel good 2-3 hours later. Like you, there is signs that your body gives you day in, day out to tell you I'm happy, I'm not good, I'm feeling unwell. This didn't work well for me. But you have to take the time to tune in and listen. And that's what we are lacking because we're waiting for everyone else to tell us what we should and shouldn't be doing. So I'd say more than anything, start listening to your body and what your mind is telling you and go from there. Like start from scratch and start actually listening.
If you're fed up of people constantly pushing you around, ignoring your boundaries, and just disrespecting you left, right, and center, then it's time to finally stop letting people walk all over you and start actually standing up for yourself, my homie. Because trust me, I've been there, staying silent and living a life I never actually wanted for myself, but lacked the confidence to do anything about it. But I was able to go from someone who settled and lacked all the confidence in herself to someone who comfortably commands respect. And guys, and my homie, even with the fears, the doubts, and uncertainty, you can finally go after what you freaking want in life, set boundaries, speak up, show up, fight imposter syndrome, and stop people pleasing. And I break down how to actually do this step by step in my book, Radical Confidence. And when you pre-order your copy of Radical Confidence right now today, guys, you can get a free gift valued at $171, which includes my ultimate guide to radical confidence, which is a workbook that you actually can work through as you're reading my book, 3 months ad-free listening to Women of Impact on podcast, and 1 hour exclusive relationship coaching sessions with me and my hubby of 21 years, Tom. So my homie, if you go and pre-order this book right now, you get all of those things for utterly free, which has been valued at $171. So go over to radicalconfidence.com to pre-order your copy right now. That's radicalconfidence.com. See you there, my homie. Let's freaking go.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money
at Menards. Yeah, God, I was listening to doctors for so long when I had such bad gut issues, and in listening to the doctors, they were telling me to try this, try that. And
they can only tell you from theory, right? Yeah.
And I was like, well, they must know.
Yeah.
And so the fact I want to like slap myself in the face, the fact that I was listening to professionals over my own body, like I'll never do that again. But going back to like, if you've been doing that your whole life, you don't know where to start. No. So what I did is like, you know what? Instead of listening to everybody else, I just need to start listening to myself. Nice. So I just started taking inventory again, and I had a food diary. And at the end of every evening for about like 6 months, homie, I was writing every day. I woke up at this time. Wow, I had a bowel movement at this time. How many times did I pee? What did I eat? At what time did I eat? How did I sleep? And I literally every day just started taking inventory, and I started to realize patterns. And so the patterns were, interesting. Every time I had to shoot, so this was actually before Women of Impact when it was just Tom's show. And so I was executive producer. It was every time before a shoot, I would have the worst gut. And I was like, is that stress? Okay. Oh, I was eating while I was stressed. Oh, what if I don't eat while I'm stressed? Would that make a difference? And so I started now, like every dinner time, I'll stop and eat my dinner in peace. I'll stop work. Yeah. I'll go back to work after, but I'll just stop. So it allowed me to take control. And then the next thing that I realized was eating 3 hours before bed. Because to your point is your gut just slows down.
It does.
And so I was eating at like 8:30, And then I was going to bed at 9 o'clock.
Food's not being digested properly.
Yeah, so I was waking up with stomach cramps. Mm. And so just by, if anyone's listening at home, like, and they're fine, just start taking inventory and start to, and then it made me start to listen to my body because I had to write it down. Mm-hmm. So in writing it down, I was like, oh, how do I feel? Oh, I actually feel better today.
Exactly.
And that allows you to take your power back.
It does. And even if, you know, some things that I find really useful about devices now, like I don't love wearing a lot of devices that monitor me too much. Like I find that I'm like unnecessary rays that I probably don't need in my body. Mm-hmm. But for short periods of time, I do it. Like I'm doing it right now. And so I will assess my body, knowing like what my sleep is, like just taking, again, inventory, right? But there are tools now that we can use. Like even if you don't want to do all the work, there are things that we can use. I'm using this thing right now. It's called Lumen. Have you seen it before?
Oh, no.
I saw it online. I was intrigued because it's basically this thing where you measure your, in the morning, it's a breath thing and it tells you in what state your body is in, whether it's like metabolizing fat or carbohydrates or whatever it's metabolizing in the morning. And what it's been teaching me is I normally finish eating by 6:30 p.m. Like that's my cutoff. When I've had things, even if it's small things, around 8 o'clock, like if I decide I want a piece of chocolate or maybe I end up eating a little bit later, my results are so different when I end. It shows me that I'm still burning carbohydrates when I wake up in the morning, which means my body is still digesting the food versus being in fat metabolism, which is where your body should be when it's in a fasted state. Mm. And so it's been so interesting to see even the 2 hour difference of stopping eating at 6:30 and then eating again something at 8 o'clock. I've been seeing clear signals. I've only been doing it for a week and it's just shown me so much about my body and how it metabolizes things. And I think that's also helped me now make conscious decisions of what I'm eating and when I'm eating it. Sometimes you do need that information in your face of telling you, oh, I didn't get sleep. I thought I had, but I didn't get good sleep today. Let me make adjustments in my evening or my morning to, you know, help that. But I think we've got so many tools now, don't we, that can really help us.
It's so powerful, honestly. Like, I don't think, especially women, talk enough about looking after your health so that you can have the confidence in whatever you want in life. Mm-hmm. And as I started to really lean into confidence and how people, you know, the tools people can use, there is that part of the where we started from, right? Where it's like, say this and do this. And like, that's so freaking powerful. But if you don't feel good, you're never going to be able to do any of that.
No.
And so we dismiss the health part of it because it's hard.
Yes.
It's freaking hard to what you were saying earlier, where it's like setting boundaries with your friends that you're not going to go out at midnight because you want to feel good the next day because maybe you've got something you've got to show up for.
Exactly.
And so anytime that we're talking about this, it's such a disservice that if we don't touch on the health part, because it's the foundation that then allows you to do everything else.
Yeah, I completely agree. You're so right. If you don't have those foundations, everything is difficult.
Yeah. Like,
everything becomes way more difficult when you don't have those things.
And as women, because we have our hormones and we have our cycle, there is going to be a certain week, like I can't even remember, but I think it's like the week before your period is when you feel the worst.
I started reading that book after you told me about
it. Oh, did you?
In the flow.
Yeah.
It was so amazing. It was so great to read like how we get onto this other like a male's rhythm versus our rhythm and how much of an impact it actually has on our body. And now even the tool that I'm using right now, it tells me like these are the foods you should be eating when you're in this phase of your cycle. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's really so useful to know. Women don't know how to change their body according to that, so I found that so interesting.
Yeah Great book. So now I want to talk about your morning and evening routines based on everything that you've learned then.
Yeah.
What are you currently doing? Give me step by step, homie.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Step by step morning routines. I wake up and then what time do I wake up? I normally wake up around like 5:30. That's usually my like sweet spot time. Sometimes if I feel really well rested, I'll get up a bit earlier, but usually around 5:30.
No alarm, I assume.
No, so I don't, my body wakes me up. Like it really does, but I will set an alarm, but I'm usually awake before it. Just in case I like end up missing it. But I do on weekends, even if I'm like, you know, I really want a lion, and then I'll wake up at like 6 and I'm like, great, a lion. But yeah, so I wake up and then I normally go to my kitchen first and I'll do hot water and I'll do it either with CCF, which is like coriander, cumin and fennel seeds. You can just like boil it in the water or you can have a powder of it. That really helps. Well, it's meant to really help with your digestion and with like just detoxing in the morning before you start adding everything to your body. Or I'll do like hot water and lemon in the morning, one of them. So I do that and then I usually take that into my meditation. And I say I do mantra meditation. We've spoken about this before. But yeah, I do my meditation, which is usually about an hour and a bit. Hour and a half, hour and a bit.
And mantra meditation, for people that don't know, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Mantra meditation. So man means mind and tra is like pretty much like to transcend. So it's essentially using words or mantras, which are sound vibrations. So words that are I use in Sanskrit, which help you to stay focused and attentive during your meditation practice. So some people say the same word over and over again. I have like a small phrase that I say over and over again. And then I also use everything from beads to keep my hands engaged in it. Like what I found has helped me the most during meditation is trying to engage all my senses in the practice, because that's usually where we get distracted. It's like you hear something or, you know, you're wanting to go, you see something and, you know, you want to go fix it around your house or whatever. So finding one space, even if it's just like one cushion, and then trying to engage all your senses. I light incense or candles that reminds my mind that that smell is linked to my meditation practice. And then I'll put on some music I really enjoy, like flute music or ocean music. I'll put that on in the background.
You don't listen to Jay on Calm.
Don't listen to Jay on Calm. No, I haven't quite got there yet. Apparently it's very good. So I do that. And then I usually work out. So now that I have like a small team, I really want to be at work by the time they're at work. I used to work out a little bit later. So now I then from my meditation around 7-ish, I'll start do my workouts. And like weight training, or I'll do a bit of boxing, or now started walking a lot more, which is nice. And then come back, get ready. Oh, I used to try and write a lot more in the morning, but now I have a section in my phone, which is like my notes page. And I just like jot down anything that has come to my mind, whether it's like a repeated thought of something that irritated me, or whether it's, a thought of like, something that I want to read up on, or, you know, whatever has been in my mind from the night before. I try and like notice that, because it's obviously something that's stuck in my mind. So I try to write that down, and then I'll kind of go back to that maybe in the evening to see, you know, what I want to do with it. But I usually try and blur out anything so that it's kind of done and dusted to start my day fresh.
Because otherwise you find that it just kind of weighs on you.
Yeah, otherwise. And also I want to know like what am I thinking about repeatedly, and why am I thinking about it? And so I usually try and get that done. And then I start my work day. And then my evening routine is finish work by about 6 o'clock. Well, with the book, I've been working at all hours, but usually by about 6 o'clock. And then I have this thing about I don't like using artificial light at all. I find that really, I like watching the sun go down. I appreciate, and obviously in winter it's quite difficult, but I've started using a lot more candles, or like using dim lights, or, you know, trying to use as much natural light as possible, because I do find that it really does affect your circadian rhythm about like putting, like really kind of throws it off about knowing when it's light outside and when it's not. And also actually getting light in from the moon and the sun is such a beautiful part of, creating that rhythm within your body. So I really try to do that. I normally try and go outside during the time of sunrise, because I really appreciate having that moment of like the switch of energies from morning to evening, or like day to night. And then I'll eat by 6:30. So cook my meal. And then it's either, depending on how we're feeling, reading, watching something that we want to wind down with. But everything is usually done by about like 9 o'clock, and then I'll start my like skincare routine. I love having, oh, we were talking about this earlier. I have this little thing on the floor when I'm brushing my, there's so much I do during the moments of brushing my teeth. So I'm brushing my teeth, and at the same time, I have a Marma mat on the floor. A Marma mat is a pressure point mat. And it's so good because you can just step on it while you're brushing your teeth for those like 3 minutes or whatever. And it really helps with circulation in your body and helps with the lymphatic drainage of your body. So it's so simple. You can just add it into your morning or evening routine, but you're just stepping on it. And then tongue scraper. Everybody who doesn't use a tongue scraper, you don't know what it feels like to have a clean mouth. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Tongue scrapers are so important. They're a part of like my culture. I've used it since I was really young, but it's an Ayurvedic thing as well. It's basically a metal brush which you use, a metal like rod, I guess, and you're scraping your tongue, and it really helps to get rid of a lot of the bacteria that's accumulated on your tongue. And they say that your tongue, like when you go to an Ayurvedic doctor, they'll look at your tongue first, because a lot of disease is shown just by the way that your tongue is. Yeah, so using a tongue scraper is very important. Then I love a good skincare routine at night. Just like a bit of self, like I think little moments of self-love throughout the day are really important. And for me, an evening like skincare routine does just that, because you're also like there's something about, you know, we love being hugged by people, but also doing that for yourself. So whether it's giving yourself like a little massage with oils or a little massage on your face, you know, using scents that you love to help soothe you into the evening. And then the last thing I do, which has been really impactful for me, as soon as I get into bed, I do a body scan. And I love doing this. It's been so great because you do not realize where you are holding tension throughout the day. You really don't. Trust me when I say this, because when you do this practice, you'll realize. You go through each body part and you basically say, relax. Like you tell that part of your body to relax. And the amount of time I've noticed that my jaw is so tight, or that my shoulders are actually up here and they need to be down here, or that I'm clenching at like even my calves or my knees, like so many places that I notice that I'm just holding on to so much. Even in my fingers, they'll be like sometimes because I've been on my phone and stuff, they'll be like stuck like this. not really, but you know what I mean? You feel that tension in your hands. And so just creating that moment of lying down and working your way through, it can take literally like 2-3 minutes of just going through your body parts. But that's been beautiful to just get into that restful state, and then I fall asleep like a baby.
Dude, I love the body scan stuff.
Right?
Yeah. Like I remember when I was like, God, I'm really finding it hard to fall asleep. Why am I? And I was like, oh, actually I'm able to fall asleep when I scan my body.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it actually prevents my mind from wandering. Mm. Because I start to go to like, inevitably, like I beat myself up over something that happened that day, or like,
thinking,
oh my God,
what you have to do tomorrow.
Yeah, or like, okay, you've got to remember this. There's always, my mind's just always wandering. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, we go back to your body, go back to your body. And the whole scanning, I was always like, oh wow, my forehead, I'm fine all the freaking time. And my jaw. Same. Those were the two things that I'm like, I had no idea that I was just holding on to so much tension.
Yeah.
So it allowed me to then fall asleep.
It does. It's such a great tool to, if you can't fall asleep, to help you fall asleep, but also to help you get into that state of like being more present in that moment to allow you to fall asleep. So your mind doesn't wander, for sure.
What about your body temperature? Do you set the room to a certain temperature?
Oh, colder, yeah. Always below 70. So normally at like 69. I like it a good 69.
Yeah.
But then like I wake up in the morning, I'm like, God, it's so cold in here. But for sleep, I find that really helps knock me out. Being like comfy and cozy in your blanket.
There's these new pads now that you can put on your bed that it detects your body temperature, and you can have separate ones. So like for women, especially as you're going through hormone changes, especially, you can have, so Tom and I had one. It wasn't this high technology, and I'm going to look into this one, but it sees the temperature, or it knows. And so it helps regulate.
That's cool.
Because the room temperature, because I was like, oh, my room's always at 68. But if you're under covers, which I always am, like the big woolly, the comforters, and I'm like, it must be like 80 degrees under my duvet. So really only my face is cold.
Then you just get brain freeze.
Yeah, but but the pad helps regulate your body temperature as well.
That's really good. You're right. You're right. You can still get very warm under your duvet even if it's like 50 out.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, thank you so much for breaking all that down.
Of course.
Mohammed, I could talk to you forever.
I know, it was so great.
So great. Where can people find you and all the amazing things that you're doing with your book?
Oh my gosh, you got a new podcast coming out.
This is so exciting.
A really good cry.
Is that what the name, the final name?
Yeah, buddy. A really good cry. So I'm Radhi Devlukia on Instagram. And then I also have my book, which is at joyfulbook.com. That's joyfull book.com, and my podcast, It's a Really Good Cry.